Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, folks. This is Princess. You are listening to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share with your friends.
It's tough. We're in a very tough spot. I think that what we're doing right now is of great benefit and virtue because it's an end around between this whole corrupt informational system, media system.
We claim to believe in a God who spoke the universe into existence and literally raised himself from the dead. And yet we're not going to believe that anything else exists in the spirit realm, even though his word tells us that they do.
Their bodies weren't permitted to go to sleep, like humans do, and they weren't permitted to go to heaven. So they wander the earth.
You know, I've seen the eyes turn black, to unknown tongues being spoken.
These giants were left way up in the highlands. The young braves, the young men, would hide up in the trees and wait for one of these 12-footers to come walking down the path, and they would jump on him and kill him, drag him back to the village, and the village would feast on the body.
Freedom!
Then people start to get weapons, they start to get armor, they start to build cities, they start to fortify their cities. Now, God looks down, and there's violence everywhere.
The battle, this war that we are at, is not against each other. It's against these principalities and these rulers and these archons in the high places.
It's really worthwhile to read the Bible yourself.
Fear is one of the primary drivers of mind control because we have to take every thought captive and resist fear.
You're going to have a testimony that is a justice case against the kingdom of darkness.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mustard Seed. I am your host, Rod, and thank you for being here with me for another awesome episode. This one is highly anticipated. Dr. Monzo returns part 4. We talk about Nephilim encounters that he has had. These creatures have tried to take his life. He's been in some weird and sticky situations. I'm going to let him describe that for you, but we warm up talking a bit of a recap on the last 3 episodes. He brings up some information about National Poison Control Week. I ask a couple questions. We warm up and it accelerates really quick once we get into these Nephilim encounters. I really enjoyed hearing Dr. Monzo's story, but even just from learning what he went through, you know, we're discovering all the time this stuff fits together. I believe everything is multi-layered. Everything is a test. Everything is important. And you are not alone. Let me do some maintenance real quick. Like, share, subscribe, leave me a 5-star rating and review. Link in the details of the show notes. You can find a copy of my book on Amazon, or you can email me and I can ship you a copy with a signature or personalized letter. Your choice. Plant a seed by donating monthly or a one-time donation. We have a long-term vision and goal, which is Kingdom Land Project. I'm hoping that church can be done a little bit different. I see the body as being super important. I see churches on every corner, but I don't see the needs of the body being met. Our goal is to get land under our feet and see what happens from there. But ultimately, we'd like to grow food. We'd like to have a place of community where people can come together that's not restricted by the 4 walls. So we definitely need your prayers, and if you have a heart to give, we need your support in that way also. Shout out to BHB. I play one of his songs featuring Rick Rogers worldwide at the end of this episode. It is definitely fire. You guys are gonna love that one. Make sure you stick around and give it a listen. And I have some banger episodes coming down the pipeline, you guys. I got some really good stuff in the future, so stick around. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. We couldn't do it without you guys. And I think it's about time to jump into this episode. I'm ready. Are you guys ready? Let's go.
Hello everyone, this is Dr. Manzo, and you're listening to the Millennial Mustard Seed.
Dr. Manzo, it is awesome to be back with you for a part four.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
We seem to keep getting ourselves into quite fascinating conversations.
Yep.
Let's just be honest, man. People are really digging what's going on right now, conversation-wise. Some of the areas we've dived into, it's been more than helpful, to say the least.
Well, that's great. We have covered a lot of information in three shows already.
And we kind of left the audience with a bit of a cliffhanger, and it's a teaser for the moment of what one of the climaxes we'll be talking about on this episode is your personal encounter with Nephilim and some of the things that you've experienced in that area. But before we kind of dive into that, let's just talk anything cool going on recently. What's kind of been happening in Dr. Manzo's world over the last couple weeks?
Well, I've been busy with more research going on a number of different shows. I had a few big shows recently with, one was with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and what was the other, Dr. Artis, not long ago. But he had me on because the week we are recording right now, which is the third week in March, is the National Poison Prevention Week. Interesting enough. And if you didn't know, every year, this actually started in 1961, the National Poison Prevention Week. And they gave a poison hotline number, but it's basically, you know, keep your poisons and stuff at home locked up so your kids can't get into it. But every year, the president usually puts out a statement from the White House. So this year, Biden was just telling everyone, calling upon Americans to take action and safeguard their families from dangerous products. And then he stated something else I found really intriguing, which only could be from Biden. And everyone will understand why here in a second. It says the Child Nicotine Poisoning Prevention Act of 2015 has saved countless lives, decreasing accidental childhood poisoning deaths by over 70% since 1972. I don't know how you can save 70% of the deaths from 1972 when the Prevention Act was passed in 2015, but it was Biden talking. So, and this whole thing about nicotine poisoning, I don't know what they're talking about other than the fact they absolutely want to get rid of nicotine. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on this show, but nicotine happens to be one of the antidotes against all venoms.
Yes.
And so there's a huge debate on whether or not nicotine is actually addictive. They tell you it's addictive, but what you really find out is most of the addiction to cigarettes are a bunch of toxic chemicals that are specifically made to be addictive that they put in the cigarettes, not actually the nicotine itself. And actually, nicotine therapies are now being used for all kinds of things. For gut issues like IBS, colitis, Crohn's, it's being used with a lot of neurological conditions like Parkinson's. And that's because your body has natural receptor sites called nicotinic acetylcholine receptor sites. And they're most dominant in the gut and in the brain. So nicotine, you can definitely get some type of feel-good feeling from nicotine because it's working on those receptor sites. And that's why people, you know, usually start smoking is it makes them feel better. But then the problem with cigarettes and smoking is there's all kinds of toxic chemicals in them, which is what causes the cancer and causes the addiction. But the whole idea that children are dying because of nicotine poisoning is pretty much a joke, considering everything else the government is poisoning us with. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone poisoned to death by nicotine.
Just Google anybody out there listening. We're not promoting that smoking is good. We're talking first of all. And then there's, I believe, I'm drawing from memory, like 98,000 chemicals in a single cigarette, right?
Yes.
And so that's a lot of additional chemicals to be partnered with nicotine itself. Now, I do not endorse smoking, but one thing that has lingered in my life, here's a confession, drum roll, I still smoke cigars. And they're just little all-natural leaf cigarillos. I don't make a big deal or a big habit about them. I won't smoke in front of somebody that will cause them to stumble, for example. I'm not proud to say that I still wrestle with the addiction or quote-unquote addiction to nicotine. But I just find that interesting that you bring that up. It's kind of the perfect opportunity for me to just self-reflect here for a second and now ask you. You know, nicotine is just a natural chemical that comes from a plant, right? With all the other chemicals aside, when we consider cigarettes, it's a natural. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it very well. So you're the perfect person to ask, like, what is nicotine? Where does it originate? Like, what plant species, if you will, or where is it commonly found? And is there research to show that it's good for the body?
Well, the answer is actually yes, because it is a natural occurring element. And I think most people know it's high-end tobacco leaves. But it's also found in the nightshade family. So in some vegetables that aren't in the nightshades. So celery, tomatoes, eggplant, other things in the nightshade family are your potatoes and your peppers. There's probably a long list of plants that actually have naturally occurring nicotine, which is the ironic part because it's like you're going to get nicotine if you're eating celery. If you're eating tomatoes, if you're eating eggplant. And when it comes to nicotine therapies, usually the therapies don't involve actually smoking because you can get nicotine from a patch or you can get nicotine from, like, they have the nicotine gum. I would think the patch is probably the best way to go because who knows what they're putting in the gum sometimes.
Correct.
But it's literally just nicotine and you put the patch on and it goes into the skin and you absorb it. But yeah, like I said, one of the treatments for Parkinson's now that people are using are high dose nicotine, and it shows really to be beneficial. And a lot of the gut issues like Crohn's and colitis will go into remission if you get on nicotine. So it doesn't mean you have to smoke. And slowly there are more companies out there making naturally occurring health products that have a higher content in nicotine because we're having such an issue today with the venom issue, because a lot of the nanotech creates synthetic peptides that look like snake venom and other venoms. So a lot of the shedding and things that are occurring from the jab have to do with venom. And one of the ways to help clear that out is because what happens is those venoms attach to those same receptor sites in the body. So the nicotine helps clear them out of the receptor sites. So if anyone's heard of Dr. Artis before, he was kind of a big name during COVID. He was a chiropractor, and he was the first person to really start talking about Remdesivir and how they were killing people in the hospital with Remdesivir. And then he got on to realizing that almost all the symptoms of COVID could be explained through venoms. And now he has presentations that pretty much prove without a shadow of a doubt that most of COVID and what's going on with the jab is related to what they call therapeutic venoms. And they actually call these natural therapies because the venom comes from animals. So they consider it natural. So this is a big thing in the medical field. A lot of your pharmaceutical drugs are made from venom. In fact, the big one that was just on Oprah the other day that I heard, I didn't actually watch it, is they were talking about the Ozempic drug, which is for diabetes. And a lot of people are using this drug now to lose weight, especially in Hollywood. Well, that drug is made from Gila monster lizard venom. And the reason people are losing weight is because it helps paralyze the stomach, and it actually has a effect on the body to decrease appetite because that specific lizard lives in the desert and doesn't eat a lot of food. So it has an appetite suppression so that it can live longer without eating. It's really interesting. So now people are taking this drug, and a lot of people are getting really bad side effects where it actually paralyzes their stomach and they have all kinds of digestive issues and throwing up and nausea. And when they stop the drug, the symptoms don't go away because venoms can stay stuck in your receptor sites and in the body for a very long time unless you do something specific to get it out. So that is the real poisoning.
Wow.
We go to injury facts. They will state that drug poisonings account for 96% of all poisoning deaths in America.
Yeah.
And well, it's not necessarily always related to overdosing or this one comes from PubMed. I mean, that's the medical field themselves. It says our prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer in the United States. And half of those die after taking their drugs correctly. So this has been known for years, and it's true almost every year. If you look at the statistics at the top five causes of death in America, every year, rightly prescribed prescription drugs are usually on the top five list. And that means drugs prescribed correctly, taken correctly, no doctor error, no patient error, and they're one of the five top leading causes of death. And then the other one that always hits the list every year is medical error, where something was done wrong during surgery or during giving a drug or something. There was some mistake. So this is the elephant in the room that no one likes to talk about. That when you add those two things together, the allopathic medical community is the number one cause of death in America for years. And that number actually adds up to more deaths than all of the top causes of disease for death. Once you see those numbers, you have to start asking a question. What are we doing here? Because it would seem that the so-called cure is actually worse than the disease. And I think anyone who's listening has probably realized that the rate of disease in our country has continued to only increase. We've thrown millions and billions of dollars at medical research, at cancer research, and still they don't have a cure for cancer. They don't have a cure for the common cold. They can manage your symptoms, but they really don't know what causes anything. And I think that's when you know people should wake up and say, is this not really just mystery Babylon?
Yeah, it just makes me, there's two things that kept kind of popping into my mind as I was listening to you there. You know, I think about Nachmanides. I think it was the 12th century. He, through reading the book of Genesis, you know, lands on the discovery that we live in 10 dimensions. And I think he was killed at the stake, if I'm remembering correctly. Long story short, you know, we look at this scientific approach of modern times, and they've thrown billions of dollars into the system to now come to the same conclusion that Nachmanides came to in the 12th century, that we live in 10 dimensions. It's like, that's, I just use that to show, like, people want science, quoting my own way on this one here, Doc, but, you know, science is repeating a process over and over again, and then recording the outcome, you know, having a recorded database to see what is consistent. You know, you're actually testing and engaging and capturing information to see what the standard is. And a lot of the times today, people are just sequacious, go with the flow, they eat the poisons, they don't ask any questions. And I believe the elites are very pleased with the mannerism of shut up and be a good little boy and do what we say. So that makes me quite a rebel. But what you're mentioning, you know, from the medical community, it just plugs in the way that I think, in a multi-layered way. I just see so many other things that parallel and just reflect that. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. They're destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And I'm not saying knowledge is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But Jesus is telling us, because the volume of the book is written of him. And no yacht or tittle will pass away until all of it comes into the perfected timing and purpose of the author. So it takes some humility, but it also takes that, you know, willingness to just unlearn all of these unhealthy things that have literally been crammed down our throat here in America. Doc, I really want to ask you, you know, with encountering beings, if you will, Nephilim, Nephilim host, as Dr. Laura Sanger would say, and then there's spirits, yeah, and many others. But I think a lot of the times people have encountered these beings and they don't actually realize it. These people are on the diet and the regime of these entities and they don't even realize it. But I want to dive into what you experienced because it fits into all of this stuff we've been talking about. Are you kind of ready for that transition or anything else that you want to kind of talk about before we get there?
I'll just mention two or three things and then we can transition. Basically, piggybacking off of what you were saying there is, yeah, it's the lack of knowledge is what is the problem, because the scripture does say, my people perish for the lack of knowledge or understanding. And what most people don't realize in this country, especially because of the generation we're in, is we were raised in a system almost like in the Matrix, where we grew up with allopathic medical doctors, and we think that that is medicine because it's the only thing we've ever seen. But we don't realize that before the 1910s, naturopaths like myself and homeopaths were the original medical doctors in America. And then in the 1910s, this medical cartel movement started, and it started with the bankers and the pharmaceutical companies, which were owned by the bankers, which we probably know also owned the Fed. They started all these institutions around the basically the same time, and it was the same group of people, which Dr. Sanger has already traced these people back to the Nephilim lines. So they came in and they had a hostile takeover of the medical community in this country. And they actually created a mafia cartel monopoly called modern medicine, allopathic medicine, which is diametrically opposed to natural law and what the Bible really says. And the problem is you grow up, you go to school. If you're a certain type of student, you're more apt to get into the medical school. And when they get in medical school, it's just a series of brainwashings where they teach you only what they wanted you to know, which was prescribe our drugs and surgery. And they don't teach you about how the body really was created to function. They don't teach you about nature. They don't teach you about nutrition. And they're taught that they have the best science, almost like they're gods in some way. And it's really a dichotomy because some medical doctors are Christians, but yet they don't realize, because of the compartmentalization of America, the way we work in our culture, that most of their practices in medicine actually don't line up with their religious beliefs in the Bible. They're actually diametrically opposed, but they can't see it because in America, everything's compartmentalized. So we just grow up in the system thinking, well, obviously modern medicine is the best because that's where you go. That's the only kid on the block. We don't realize that they're the only kid on the block because they created a monopoly and they passed laws that protect them. And anyone who doesn't do their system gets blackballed and is not allowed at the table. So we do not have a free medical system in America. By free, I mean the freedom to choose what you want to do with your body when it comes to medical. Because you've been taught that there's only one way to view the body. There's only one way to treat the body. And so they have this whole thing wrapped up. So most people live most of their life without ever even hearing what a naturopath is. It's like, what's that? I've never even heard of that. That's because you don't actually have a free medical system. You have a medical system that's being run by one elite group of people. The third point I was going to make with that was, when I was in undergrad, one of the classes was, you know, Old Testament studies. And we had to write a paper on any topic that would fit in the time period of the Old Testament. And so I picked the ancient medical practices of the ancient Egyptians. I was fascinated to find out that they had identical surgery tools that we have today, except not as fancy and probably not as sterile, but they were even doing brain surgeries in ancient Egypt. Now in America, we've been taught, oh, no, we're really sophisticated now and we're doing things that have never been done before. But then when you go back in history, you find out, well, that's actually not true. So we might think we're really advanced, but not much has actually changed in, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years.
Yeah, really good points.
Speaking of this elite group of people who basically run most of our government and run the media, and they run the banks, and they're running your medical system. Which, are you surprised on what they pulled during 2020, even up to today? Because here's the, another ironic thing with this National Poison Prevention Week. I looked up WebMD and the CDC, and this was according to 2002 and 2003. The CDC says in 2002, the top four causes of death was heart disease, cancer, unintentional injuries, and then COVID. In 2003, WebMD says the top four causes of death are heart disease, cancer, COVID, and then accidents. Isn't that interesting that COVID's in there with heart disease and cancer as number three or number four? I hope everyone doesn't hear my kids in the background. But if we go back to that PubMed article, it said prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death every year after heart disease and cancer. Well, wait a minute. Which is it? Because according to the CDC and WebMD, there was nothing even mentioned there about the drugs. It was replaced with the word COVID. So this is the problem we have, is this group of people don't give us the real facts. So it's interesting. They take out that whole thing about how the drugs are killing us, and they insert this COVID-19 concept, which no one has really ever been able to prove what COVID was in the laboratory. I hope everyone knows that. They have never identified the virus yet. The entire genome of the virus has never been seen or found. They only give you fragments of it, and they say, oh, that's it. And it's like, well, what really was it? It was probably a bioweapon, but that's a whole nother topic. But these guys, you know, this Nephilim bloodline still exists, and they could be still walking among us. So what happened for me is, I would say I was pretty much under the radar for a very long time, and I didn't really have any crazy things happening. Probably until when we started working with SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, things heated up, and it kind of was just like your typical spiritual warfare stuff, you know, things to waste your time, to try to distract you. It wasn't anything major, but it's just things to try to get you off and, you know, take up all your time with having to deal with stupid things. Then when I probably started talking about weaponized nanotech around 2019, that's when we really started seeing things heating up in our clinic. And then, of course, 2020 comes, and everyone's supposed to shut down, where I refused to shut down. I refused to do the masking because I knew already that this was a complete psyops. I was like, oh, this is nonsense. I know exactly what they're doing. It's not what they say it is at all. And that's because I've already been working with this weaponized nanotech for a year before COVID even hit. So I knew it right away exactly what they were doing. And so we started running into problems with the medical board in Ohio. And they didn't like the idea that we weren't going to close down. And we grew exponentially during that time period because we found all kinds of people who didn't even know what I did. They had no clue what natural holistic medicine was. And they wanted to come see me because they couldn't get in to see their medical doctors because they closed. And they had problems. And they couldn't see anyone. So the very people that are supposed to be protecting your health and therefore when you need them were pretty much closed down and you couldn't get appointments with them. So people were coming to me and had no clue what I did and probably thought I was a little bit crazy. And then, you know, they would try the therapies and then they were couldn't believe that they worked. And they're like, I can't believe this is working and I feel better. And that started building. And then I started getting invited to some of the big conferences, you know, like the Reawaken Tours and the Red Pill Expos. And you start going to the Take on the World conferences and you start going to these big conferences. And what started happening is they would target the speakers and that still happens. All the big events today, they don't go with the narrative. They will target speakers and they do a lot of nanotech, not gassing, but a spray. Maybe even nano fogging, you could call it, where they spray the food or they'll try to spray the speakers on the stage. And a lot of the speakers will get really sick, but a lot of the people in the conference do not. 2021, I think that was the year that I was at the Take on the World conference with Rob Skiba. And I think Russ Dizdar was going to show up. And I mean, there was a bunch of people there. And a lot of the speakers got really sick at the end of the conference. And then, of course, Rob Skiba ended up in the hospital where they killed him. And then so did Russ Dizdar 2 or 3 weeks later, also ended up in the hospital, and his wife. And I think that the problem you have in medical community now is there are some people in the medical community that are just straight from the pit of hell. And then a lot of medical doctors are really great people. They might be the greatest person God ever created, but the problem is they have been trained wrong. And when you're in that system now, that system is way worse than it ever has been. You know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, if you were a medical doctor, you had a lot of freedom. Today, if you're a medical doctor, you do not, especially in a hospital. They have what they call standard protocol, and you're going to do standard protocol. And if you do not, they're probably going to fire you. Now, you know, they've set this whole system up like a game. So you go through all that schooling. You spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on your education. And so now you're stuck in a job where if you don't toe the line and do what they tell you to do, you don't have a job. And how are you going to pay back everything? Especially if you're in the hospitals, because if you're in the hospitals, you're really under what they say. If you get into private practice, you have a little bit more say. But the problem with both systems is then you have the insurance companies. Well, the insurance companies come along and now they dictate to the doctor what the doctor can do. So a lot of doctors have their hands tied behind their back. And that's what we saw during the COVID season, was this merge of these frontline doctors, doctors coming out saying, hey, these protocols are not designed to save anyone. These are not the protocols we do for a virus. These are not the protocols you do for a pandemic. They don't work. Why are we doing this? They're not even scientific. We've known this for years. But they were the protocols that they were being told you have to do. It's the only protocol. So this is the problem. People go to the hospital and there's only one protocol you can do. And it doesn't make sense. And those doctors who spoke out, they were prosecuted or persecuted. Some of them lost their jobs and they were basically told, shut up and do what we tell you. And it's like, well, this isn't saving anyone's lives. And we have natural things that we can do that would help people. And we're not being allowed to do it. We have pharmaceutical drugs that we know are more effective that could save people, but we're not allowed to use them. And so the whole system was rigged. And that's why you have this emergence now of a lot of allopathic doctors who are waking up and going, wait a minute, the stuff they taught me in school isn't necessarily true. There's other information out there I wasn't taught. And they won't even let us talk about it. So you have people like Russ and his wife and Rob Skiba, and you get in the hospital and the first thing they do is, especially with, I'm not sure about Russ Dizdar and his wife, but I was really intimately involved with Rob Skiba, but I know the first thing they did is they locked him in a room. They kicked out the family. They wouldn't let anyone in. They wouldn't let anyone talk to him. And so it's like, what is that about? And then all the information we were receiving was from the doctors. And so the doctors would say, oh, he wants to be on this drug. Oh, he wants to be on the ventilator. Well, I knew that was a lie because I had talked to him, you know, just weeks before at the conference. Well, it was probably a week before. And he knew for well and at the conference that once they put you on the drugs and on the ventilator, you're dead because it's not the right treatment. So he knew for well. And I even got access to his charts at one point through his wife. And they had him on like 50 drugs. And some of them were just outright poisons. And they weren't even hiding the name of the poison. I mean, it was literally the name of ethyl propylene, which basically is like very toxic to the body. And well, I can't think what the thing I'm thinking of you put in your car. It's in the fluid you put in the car for to protect it during winter. I don't know why my mind's going blank. But it's the same stuff. So why did they have him on 50 drugs? He had no pre-existing health conditions. So I started watching this with a number of my friends being killed in the hospitals. And a lot of times it came at the end of a conference. And I was at one conference where we even saw the catering team come in and like spray the stuff over the food. And it's like, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, we're just, you know, sterilizing things. It's like, you don't sterilize food. I mean, it's insane. I don't really talk about this. Sometimes I don't know what to say about this topic. I've had numerous poisoning events. And as you can see, I'm still alive. So they are probably not happy because they have tried to kill me every which way they can, but it does not work. I think because I'm protected and I know a lot about how to counteract poisons very quickly with frequencies. But the next thing they upped was I got invited to a Red Pill conference. It was in Salt Lake City. And anyone who knows about what goes on in Salt Lake, it's superly spiritual charged there. And it was in a place called the Salt Palace. It's like, oh, good Lord, here we go. The Salt Palace, which is on Temple Street. It's like, oh, who designed the name? And you walk into this building, and the first part you walked in was like a, what are those things called? A building that's like a cylinder. It's round, and there was doors around the circle.
Yeah.
And
I can't think of the name, but I
you know what I'm talking about. It sucked with a C or something. Like a, there were these weird wind music chimes on the doors. So when you would walk into a door, different doors would, it would play this weird music. And it felt like you actually entered into a vortex. I literally think that there was a spiritual vortex they created when you entered this building. And outside the building was really strange. They had all these signs that just, the only way you can summarize it is confusion. The signs would say, it's up, it's not up, it's not down. You're here, you're not here. Left or right. I mean, with all these signs like that, it was just absolutely confusing. You might even be able to find some pictures if you Google it and look up the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City. And it's like, what is with this place? So we get into this place. Here's the Red Pill conference. And at the exact same time, they have a second conference going on in the same building. And what is it? It's a Magic the Gathering conference, not like the card game. I don't think it was actually like, I don't know what type of magic it was because I just stayed away from the people, but they were all dressed up and they were doing all kinds of weird things. So I thought, of course, I'm here to speak at this conference, and we have both people in the building at the same time. I'm like, this is a supercharged event. There was a guy there, and he had this booth that he looked like he threw together at the last minute, threw like maybe 10 books on the table. He had an assistant, and he had some business cards and a little sign. And on that sign, he had the Horus sign of the all, you know, the Egyptian all-seeing eye. And some other symbols. And I was like, oh man, what is that guy? And he was like kind of back on the wall. And I thought, oh man, he must be here because of the magic conference. And then he kept moving his table closer and closer to me. And I was like, oh, okay, what is this guy? Eventually he kind of pinned me somewhere and started a conversation with me. And I realized, oh no, he was here for the Red Pill conference. And he goes, do you believe in aliens? And I'm like, oh man, I do, but I don't know what I want to tell him I think about him. So I just go, well, yes. And he goes, do you believe aliens could be walking among us and look just like us? So now you have to picture this. This guy looked kind of like Superman. He was taller than me, very muscular, very good looking, and he had these dark black eyes that looks like pierce right through you. I was already very uncomfortable in my spirit. And then he says, well, I am one. And he gave me his alien name and his real name, and he said he was here to help save us, and he knew what was going on. He wanted me to take one of his books. You know, he wanted to shake my hand, of course, when he was introducing himself. So he gave me this big messianic handshake, you know, where you come down over top of the person. It's like a power handshake. And as soon as I shook his hand, literally all hell broke loose. I was getting a text on my phone at the exact same time he shook my hand from my wife back home saying, both kids instantly just got sick out of nowhere. She's like, this is so crazy. And they're both screaming and going crazy. And I was like, oh my goodness. And all the stuff that we had at our table at a booth started going hey wacky. And that's when I realized this guy was a Nephilim. Because at first I didn't know. I thought, okay, either this guy is a con man and he's telling people, well, you know, I'm an alien because that's a cool thing to do these days. And, you know, you're going to get people to buy your book. Or he's certifiably crazy and he thinks he's an alien. And so he's just, I'm talking to a crazy guy. Or the third possible conclusion is he's the real deal. And Nephilim are the real aliens and we're dealing with the real thing. But once I shook his hand and all hell broke loose, then I realized, oh, good Lord, this guy is actually the real thing. So then it got more intense and he had this assistant with him. And like I said, the whole thing was weird. And he continued to move his booth closer and closer to us until he was literally the booth next to us. But he, like I said, he didn't have anything there. He had like 10 books. There was no boxes under his table. There was nothing else there. It's like he just showed up at the last minute. I thought, man, this guy, now I'm thinking in my head, I think this guy was sent here just because of what I'm speaking about. Because he doesn't fit in. He really didn't really talk to hardly anyone else there, but he had this assistant. And the guy looked like an android. And I am not joking with you, people. This was like being in a movie. He would walk up to him and bring him his food. And he would look at him and walk like a robot. And he'd go, here is your food, master. And I'm looking at this like, you got to be joking me. The guy moves and sounds like a robot. I'm like, this can't be true. And then there was another lady there was like very new agey and kind of like a witchy.
Yeah.
Well, then we would find them outside in the streets, the three of them making out. And I was like, this can't be happening. I'm like, is someone filming this? I'm like, no one's ever going to believe me.
I believe you.
And then it got even more intense. So,
oh, man.
I can't give all the details, but let's just say I had an assistant with me too. And we were supposed to get up and get off to the airport pretty early in the morning. And I get all ready and I'm in the lobby and I'm waiting. She doesn't show up. So I go up and this is pretty much almost like, you know, probably like 2 a.m. or something. I knock on her door a little bit. No one answers. I'm like, oh man. So now I'm getting to the front desk. I'm like, hey, you know, we're late. We're supposed to be leaving and this person's not waking up. And now I'm getting a little concerned. So it got to the point where I was about to break down the door because they weren't going to open it for me. So eventually they decide, okay, we're opening the door. So let's say I can't get into the details, but when I walked into the room, there was a major spiritual battle and there were 3 people in that room that weren't supposed to be in the room and the person, and it looked like they were going to try to do some type of seance. All I know is I walked in the room and in the spirit, I could see Yeshua came in the door with me and jumped in front of me and he did something. And they basically had to scatter. And there were 3 people in that room that Nephilim was one of them. And they were basically going to try to do something and we stopped it from happening. And then I think they were going to try to get into my room too, but I stopped them from doing that at one point earlier in the night. I didn't even realize it because I just thought I heard something. So I started praying and I think I stopped that, but the intention, I believe, was that we weren't actually supposed to come home alive after that event. Very surreal. And then the battle with him spiritually probably continued for like 2 or 3 weeks after that conference. We had some major spiritual attacks, and so I had to deal with that. So that is the story of the Nephilim. Wow. Now, I haven't heard anything from him before, and I don't even know if he's alive. So I can give you another really interesting story actually happened before this.
Okay.
So before this, I have to be really careful here because some people probably know this name. I will not use the name, of course. When I first started figuring out the weaponized nanotech and how demonic it was and what they were doing to create this stuff, and that's when God was giving me these downloads, like, what we're going to do to battle this stuff. There was a big-time counselor in the SRA movement. And he was kind of a big trainer for a lot of the other people. It wasn't Russ Dizdar. This is a different guy. And he would teach how to do the counseling and how to get people to the final stages of reversing all the stuff that's been done to you during satanic ritual abuse. Well, we were working with people and getting them more and more free with our therapies. And it came out that this guy was a double agent. And because people actually started getting their memories back. And they actually remembered that it turns out that this guy was actually the number one child trafficker in the United States, and specifically in the state of Ohio, which is the state I live in. And he was usually a finisher to the therapies, because when you got to some of the final stages, what he was doing is reprogramming these people to keep them still in bondage. But he was he was on the outside pretending to be one of the major SRA counselors. So this kind of got, he kind of got outed, and a lot of the different ministries got wind of this. So he kind of lost a position. Well, it turned out he was an expert in plasma weapons too in the occult. So he started attacking me with plasma-based weaponized pathogens. And we had another friend who was very prophetic in the ministry, and he reached out to us one day and said, hey, you know, tell Dr. Monzo that I think he's under attack and that this guy is after him, and maybe he wants to check himself. Well, at that point, I was not feeling well at all. I was actually doing really bad. And so, of course, I had to do my different therapies to try to figure out what I was being attacked with, which is kind of involved to figure out weaponized nanotech. But eventually I figured out something, which was a weaponized Epstein-Barr virus. And it had mainly attacked the pineal pituitary hypothalamus in the brain, which basically was zapping all my energy and my hormones. And I had found that this guy had actually sent it to me through like a directed energy weapon, like a plasma weapon. So this is when I learned how to do the really good spiritual warfare. So this is what I do now when I get attacked by these people, whether it's directed energy weapon, because that came later, that directed energy weapons came after the Nephilim encounter. But if it's a directed energy weapon or poisoning or nanotechnology, a lot of times what I will do is I will say that I rebuke this in the name of Yeshua, and whatever has attacked me, I send it back to whoever is sending it, sealed in the blood of Yeshua, so that it cannot be broken off until they repent and return to him or according to his mercy and judgment. And I tell you what, when you send it back that way, they stopped attacking you really fast.
Yes.
Now, later in the year, yes, this guy actually died, and they said he died of COVID, but it wasn't that many months later. So I actually wonder if he did not die because I sent this thing back onto him and he did not want to repent, and God held him to whatever judgment God seemed fit. But I'm not crying anymore because I know what he was really involved in. So he's not around anymore, and I really haven't heard from the Nephilim. So I did the same thing with him. When we were getting hit with spiritual attacks, I just kept sending it back, and he doesn't mess with me anymore. So... And then, after that was directed energy weapons. Directed energy weapon was almost the worst thing I've ever experienced. And then I realized that's exactly what you do with those. You send them back exactly the same way. It's the only way I've really seen where you can break off directed energy weapons. And then after that, which was the last thing that almost got me, was when I was attacked directly by AI. And we were able to see what was going on in my body energetically, but we were not able to identify what it was. And so eventually one of the practitioners in my office was like, well, let's test this. Let's see if it's coming from AI. And we did, and sure enough, that was true. And that's when I realized for sure that AI is not artificial intelligence, that it's really alien intelligence, and it's not what we're being told. And, you know, they're sneaking their way into all the technology so they can be like God and be everywhere at all times. And so that technology is very real. And it's really too bad, because I think we need better, classifications. Because there's some things out there today they're calling AI, and it's not even AI. It's just literally an algorithm. And, you know, it can do processing really fast, and they want to make it sound fancy, so they call it AI, which is really too bad, because the real AI that can give you answers, I think it's completely demonic. But that's my stories of my life post-2019. Never a dull moment at our clinic, I can tell you.
Man, that is a roller coaster ride. Man, no weapon formed against you will prosper, right? And that's prosperity right. is the completion of the intended attack of that weapon. It's not going to come to pass. It doesn't mean we don't have a battle. And oh, Lord, I have been patiently waiting. Doc, sometime when the time is right, I'll share some of my stories. But man, that's intense. That's intense. With me, I watch like little movie clips in my head when people talk, if I'm interested. It's not about everything. Thank God, because the imagination is powerful. But man, you were saying some of those highlights there. And I'm just like, when you said Yeshua came in the door with you, I'm like, oh Lord, the way that I seen it, man. Oh my gosh.
It was something. And you know, when the event happened, I didn't even know what happened.
Yeah.
All I remembered was going in the room, something happened. I had to literally lay hands on the person, because the person on the bed, I almost had to, like, they were like in a trance. They weren't awake, but I don't know. It's like they weren't even kind of alive. It's almost like the spirit came back in their body and they woke back up. So then after that, it was a pretty traumatic event. So after that, it took like a week or two for us to really think back on, like, what did we actually encounter and what happened? And then that's when I started getting all the images and the visions back to what really happened in that room. And it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild.
Yeah. And then, you know, another highlight that I just want to really mention again is you said about praying in the name of Yeshua and sealing what they intended against you in the blood and reverting it back. Yes, yes, and yes. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. I have three yeses on that. It works, you guys. You know, this is one of the things that, for the listener's sake and myself, and just a mini testimony here, is the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when we come to the Lord, you know, we have to know who we're actually coming to, who the Lord of hosts is, and the power that he has. You know, I have wrestled so much, Doc, in my lifetime, breaking down the false reality overlays. I have some language on stage 1, 2, and 3, and all of us are exposed to this false reality overlay, as Dan Duvall would say, right? But some of us, because of generational iniquity, personal choices, many other reasons, can be much deeper and it can get much darker. But the enemy still has one purpose: to try to destroy, to kill, to lie, to steal. You know, the enemy literally does what God says he comes to do. But God does what he said, past, present, and future. And he is a good God. Mm-hmm. As we trust the Ruach to be our teacher in these deep and intense things and understanding, we can really start to see that the Lord is good. We can see that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And then literally capture this, like your testimony, all of your research, all of the commitment, the time that you've given the Lord to, it looks really unorthodox. It looks crazy to certain people. I get it. It doesn't look crazy to me. And we are not alone. We are not alone, man. So I'm encouraged, but it's also freaky what you shared. I'm like, listening to some of it, I'm like, no, that well, should actually be a movie. You know,
it should be a movie. But when the enemy intends something for bad or to harm us, God can use it for the good. And you know, that's really what happened, because with that one first attack, I had only identified two or three weaponized pathogens. So when he attacked me with that one, that was like the third or fourth one that I had identified. And it gave me so much insight into how it actually worked. It was like, oh, it's actually completely backfired on you guys. You guys actually just allowed me to understand exactly how you do this and made it, because you attacked me with it.
Yes.
So it was actually the backfire. Oh. And I think sometimes people need to understand too, like, you probably have some pretty cool guests that come on the show, people like myself and stuff. And sometimes I remember when I was young, I would see people had like big ministries or doing cool things. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I want to be like that. What a lot of times people don't realize is when someone gets to a point like where I am or some of your other speakers, you have to understand that means we have walked through multiple fires and we have been tested. And you just don't get to a point like this without actually having to walk through the fire. So sometimes people don't know what they're asking for. It's like, oh, that's going to be so cool if I could do those things. It's like, well, you're also going to have some pretty intense battles.
Yes.
And they are not lightweight, because any one of those could have been my last battle. Mm. Or, you know, that intense. So that's not the like prop me up and say, you know, like pride or, oh, I'm so special. It's just the fact of the matter that nothing in my life has ever been easy. And I had to go through a lot of stuff to get to the point where I am now. And the attacks get more and more intense because I am now better suited to handle more. So, you know, we never are giving more than what we can handle, never tempted beyond what we can handle. So God knows us, knows exactly where we are and what we can handle and what we've been able to conquer in the past. And as you continue to conquer, you become more and more a priest in the kingdom, a royal priesthood. And you continue to, you know, get higher in rank because you've battled through those things and you won those things. And then, you know, you think, oh, if I can just beat this one thing, I'm good. And, you know, I can just sit back and relax. And it's like, nope.
Nope. Yeah, dude. The anointing breaks the yoke.
We'll learn more about God, learn more about ourselves, learn more about our relationship, learn more about how we need to be helping other people. But to get to that point where you can help other people, you have to go through the fire, unfortunately. And that's just how it is. And I think, unfortunately, that is not the message the Christian church wants. The Christian church wants a message of come to Jesus and everything's perfect. And it's like, that is just not in the Bible.
Yeah, I did a recording with Dr. Mike Davis, right? And we're talking about emotional intelligence. And, you know, we're kind of going back into like Numbers and we're looking through some of the books of the Bible. And, you know, God lays out for us. Well, we talked about a lot, but one that just not to spend a lot of time on it, but a highlight in case somebody's listening to this one that didn't listen to the episode that I recently dropped with Dr. Mike Davis is, you know, God is giving us the layout when Joshua and Caleb, you know, and you know, these men that were faithfully serving God that had a different spirit on them. He's saying, do not let the law depart from your mouth. And then he's commanding them, do not fear, right? Be courageous, be strong, right? You know, we could just see it's just all throughout the Bible. But a couple things that we honed in on was God is giving us this remedy, you know, because me and Dr. Laura were just talking about the power of our words. Can you imagine this generation as we start to get this, Dr. Monzo, where we're starting to understand everything you're bringing to the table, what's natural, what God created and intended. I think it was, I forget the guy's name, but let thy food be thy medicine be thy food. Well, not too far off, right? We'll give a little credit where credit's due there to the ancient philosopher who coined that. I forget his name. And then we start to understand the power of our words. The Bible talks about the power of the tongue. Then we start to understand that everything, we come and we lay it down because we need Yeshua. We need that lifting up, the covering. We need the armor that's talked about in Ephesians. But we also need to not let the law depart from our mouth, to meditate on it and understand emotional intelligence. The longer this goes on, and believe me, I'm not a very good example of this. Don't look at me. I'm just piecing certain things together that I'm literally pursuing and trying myself. But just like everything else is multi-layered, you guys, multi-layered attacks, multi-layered complexities of life, whether you want to admit it or not, you want to hide under a rock, cool. This ain't the podcast for you. but if you're understanding this stuff and you're wading through the million messages and signals that are causing confusion and chaos, and you're starting to know who Yeshua is, who he's calling you to be, we can equip ourselves with what Dr. Monzo is bringing to the table. Understanding the word says there's power in our tongue. There's power in our words. And then emotional intelligence and how to use that. Mm-hmm. This is all coming together because God, his plan does not fail. We win. We win. Creepy Nephilim Superman looking dude, you lost. Good try.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure one of your buddies took a swing at me not too long ago. Didn't work. I'm still here. And these are our testimonies. Mm-hmm. It is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Yeah.
There is a level of joy.
Yes.
That passes understanding.
Yes.
That you have when you can walk through these successfully. You get once the journey is over or that test is over, and you're on the other side, then that's when it's just like, oh, that was so cool that I made it through there. And now I'm helping all these people. And, you know, it's a cool story. Don't know who's going to believe it, but it doesn't matter. I know what happened and I was there. So,
yeah,
it's real
this
to me.
So true. It's real to me, too. This is the world I live in. I don't want to live at the standard of somebody else's world. I want to live in mine. And my world happens to be Yeshua and purpose, calling. Shattering the darkness, right? Exposing the darkness.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Walking with fear and trembling and wrestling through these things because, man, you know, Enoch always gives me trouble for this. So he'll giggle, but he says quite too often, we must be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. That's a pretty high calling command.
Mm, sure is.
That's pretty difficult. So you're not alone. We don't need to do this alone. You have been fundamental in helping me put this stuff together, as so many other people will continue to testify, Dr. Monzo. And there's so many anointings that are breaking the yoke out there right now. But like you said, the process, it's not like you just wake up, oh, I'm going to give my life to Christ today and I'm going to do all these amazing things starting next Wednesday. It's not reality, you guys. That is not reality. And unfortunately, like you said so well a few minutes back, modern day Christianity typically does not want to get into the nitty gritty, the deep, the depth, the truth of this is a spiritual battle. So I love magnifying that and just re-throwing that back up into the airwaves because I know how difficult it's been. Would I change it and go back? No, No. I would, you know, no way. Because darkness just keeps getting darker.
Yeah, and things are going to continue to get more and more intense.
Yes.
And I think what people don't realize, because, you know, we're 2,000 years now removed from the intertestamental period, the time in between what we would call the Old Testament and New Testament concept. So when Yeshua was here and he had his disciples, we look at that time for a period and we go, they were doing amazing things. But what we forget is that was a different time period. They were all astute followers in the scriptures already. They knew the front of the book like the back of their hand, and they were living according to what they knew best about the front of the book, despite the fact that there was a bunch of religious teachers there that were trying to get them to keep man-made traditions instead of following what God said. And so when he came and he found his disciples, they recognized him right away and they were like, oh, he's speaking the truth. So they already had a foundation. We come into it now today, 2,000 years removed. We get into Christianity, we get saved. We have no understanding of the front of the book. We really don't have much understanding of anything. And then all of a sudden we think, oh, I should be casting out demons and, you know, raising the dead. And it's like, why isn't it happening? It's like they were able to do it, but we don't realize how much, what place they actually were in their life when Yeshua actually showed up. I mean, they lived and breathed the Bible. That was the culture that they lived in at that time. Our culture, we don't live and breathe the Bible, even though we say we live in our Christian nation. I think everyone knows that this nation is very, very much highly related to Mystery Babylon. I don't think Mystery Babylon is any one nation per se, but I think we are definitely deeply involved in that. So we tend to think, oh, we're a Christian nation, we have it all together. But I think the reality is when we really come into faith, we have no clue how to live. And we have so much baggage we have to get rid of first. We have to get rid of all that static and all that stuff that's interfering so we can even be used. And, you know, so I think that's important for people to have that concept.
Man, this is the perfect episode. Today is actually 5 years for the Mustard Seed, right? So I released the first episode 2020, 3/20. And now it was in development for much longer than that. And I was wrestling with God about the name. I didn't want to call it the Millennial Mustard Seed. I thought I'd, well, I did get made fun of a little bit and it's a mouthful and it, you know, but man, I just trusted God. Thank God that I believed him and listened. But, and I'm thinking, what an excellent way to kind of like really reflect and go, you know what, everything you've laid out here today and what you're stirring up in me again, it's just beautiful and powerful. And I think I'm just going to drop this last little reflection and I'll ask you kind of a final question here to kind of wind down. But when one of the apostles is writing in the New Testament and he reminds them, and this is emotional intelligence also, this is a way that you as a listener can understand how to get through the battle that you may be in right now. It may be heavy. It may be intense. People might not believe what you're experiencing, but it's reminded to us in the living word where I believe it's the Apostle Paul. I don't always remember book, chapter, and verse, but I remember the essence, the meat of what's taking place, which is important for me. And he says, remember all of the struggles and the tears and the persecution you faced in the past to encourage them for what they presently are going through. And it's like, we need to remember how God has been faithful. He's carried us through to where we are today. It's like your own self voice, right? Where you can literally wash your mind with the word. As negativity is flooding the airways, as messages and signals of war, you know, lies being exposed, you have political stuff, you have the earth moaning and groaning literally for the sons of God and their identity to be revealed on the scene. That's all happening right now in this time slot that we're living in. But God comforts us and says, I was with you then, I'm with you now. So do not give up. Somebody out there needs to hear this. Do not fold. It's not over for you. The best is yet to come. God has plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Just make sure you're coming correctly to Yeshua. Now, Dr. Monzo, I want to ask you this. Just, I want you to recap, dude. We have laid down a few hours of audio content. It's been dispersed in, I don't know, I can't even count how many countries your episodes have been downloaded in, how many messages and emails we've gotten. It's helping people. But I want you to do just a brief recap. And whatever else you would like to, you know, kind of comfort us with for these last four recordings here.
Oh, man, a recap of all four recordings.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, like, yeah, just do the best. Whatever comes to mind, man. I trust the Spirit is just going to give you exactly what's needed. We covered a lot of information. We don't really necessarily need to dissect it and get back into it. But just, you know, a brief overview, however it comes to you, bro. I trust.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we have four episodes now. So if you didn't catch them all, go back and listen. But I think the biggest thing, if we were to, you know, put it in a nutshell, I always think that's funny, God in a nutshell. I can't think of what that guy's name is, but he has some cool stuff sometimes.
Trey Smith, yeah.
Trey Smith, yeah, he has some cool stuff sometimes. I think we have been talking about the reality of how real the spiritual world is and how real the spiritual battle is. And we have covered things that you don't typically hear. From topics of the difference between holistic medicine and modern allopathic medicine, and how they're completely different in their view and understanding, one relying on what God has created versus one relying on what man makes in a laboratory, and moving into then how demonic powers have been behind the scenes making weaponized technology, weaponized pathogens, and nanotechnology that is very real and probably part of the reason for all the diseases we have today. And they are just slowly pushing people more and more towards a transhumanistic agenda because we are getting into the end days and they no longer want us to be human. They want to change you into something non-human. And they're experimenting with these shots and different things to see what they can do to the DNA to change it. And I think we are heading into the days where pretty soon they are going to have technology. And I don't even know if it's going to be an injection necessarily. It might be an injection, but it might be a technology that you take some other way. Maybe it's just a patch that you wear or somehow to get this technology into your body. It's going to be something that you take, I think, or something you have to do with yourself. That's going to give your body a whole new operating system, and it's going to turn you into something non-human. And it's probably going to be directly related to what we call the mark of the beast. And that's what we are trying to warn people of, is this technology is real and it is coming. I don't think it's completely here yet. That is the mark. I think all the technology is here now. And it's just, they're probably waiting for one more world event where they can usher in this new system. So we want people to not be fearful of these times that are coming, but to have the knowledge to understand and identify it. You don't want to be misled into these false concepts of, oh, you know, the aliens are coming to save you, or we're going to give you a new DNA upgrade, and we're going to take away all of your diseases, and you're never going to get sick again. Those are all the lies. Unless we're talking about doing it from a natural perspective. But if we're talking about using technology to change your DNA, watch out for those lies. And we just have to be encouraged to continue working on our relationship with the Most High, because these times are coming and we need to be strong for them. They're not necessarily going to be easy times, but with His power, we can walk through it and we can overcome. So I think that is that's the nutshell of what we've been talking about in really all the episodes. And we just gave you a lot of details about all those different concepts and how they're playing out right now. But that's how it is. And I think things are going to change in this country pretty dramatically. And I think we're heading into a time that's going to be really, really good. Really prosperous and a lot of peace. That's what I think, because that kind of lines up with the Bible. Because right now all we're seeing is wars and rumors and wars, and everything's going to end, and maybe the eclipse is the end and that's going to be the return. I don't know if that's actually the real story, because what I see in the Bible is everyone's going to be saying peace and safety, and then the sudden destruction comes. So I think we're feeling the birth pains right now, and then things are going to get really good, or at least it's going to look really good on the surface, and then all hell will break loose. So I think we're going to have a little period of prosperity and peace so people can prepare, and then all of a sudden, it's going to turn out that that wasn't really the real story. So that's kind of how I see things playing out in the future. Of course, I'm not a prophet, so I could be wrong. But I have a feeling that's how it's going to play out. And they're going to continue to push this narrative of nanotechnology and AI being a great thing for you, and you should just start getting into your head right now that you need to combine with the machines. And I don't think that narrative is going to end. I think that narrative is going to be played in multiple ways to make it sound very good and very intriguing to people. You know, no more cancer, no more disease, no more pain. But I think that is all the lie.
Superlative, Doc, is amazing. And I'm just going to do a real quick breakdown of my multi-level agreement with what you just said. I don't think in this country we have seen an actual like biblical fivefold understanding of what the church looks like. So I'm in agreement with you when you say that there's a season coming that's going to be good. Because in order for the stage to be set for the, you know, when we dive into Revelation, sudden destruction, people who can't die and they're begging for death, right? Like these things that are biblical and that are yet to come to pass. The church, in my opinion, has to be firing on all cylinders. And to me, that's non-denominational. Some people disagree with me. To me, that and it's not non-denominational in the sense where that's its own denomination now. No. We're talking there's teachers, there's prophets, there's pastors, there's shepherds, servants. We're seeing the retraction of and the undoing of this one man up on a stage in front of a congregation. There's one thing that I think about. As a body, you're aware of your body. You know, if you get together and do home church like we do, maybe some of you are called to do that, start a home church, actually get your ministry right in your home first, and then be the church. If you sit around in a circle and you're praying, everyone's looking at each other. It's not one man up on a stage and everybody facing him. And then when that man, you know, some terrible sin comes out that he's been hiding in his life, the whole congregation falls apart and it becomes this big blame fest and everybody's going nuts. No, we are a body with a diversity of gifts. And we haven't seen the full measure of that function yet. And I believe we need to see that full measure of function in order for it to be worthy of God's word coming to pass in the days we live in. So I agree, there's a great season ahead, but it's also going to weed out the people that aren't doing things right. And it's also, when that season comes to an end, all the good things that God allowed to happen, the teaching, the upgrading, the understanding, the relationship is going to be what carries us through what I believe to be a great persecution at the end. Man, it is not far-fetched to say that there's a part five. It just won't be within the next couple weeks, I'm assuming, because I guess you could say this is the first time I'm dropping this information publicly anywhere, but yeah. Sweet little babes coming into the world. So as we record this, my wife is 39 weeks pregnant. So we're expecting a gift, a bundle of joy, a wonderfully and fearfully created young son.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, excited.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be... Dude, it's wild what's going on right now. Podcasting is wild and crazy. God is doing all this unique stuff. We're seeing some answered prayers. There's some breakthrough, a young babe showing up. So we will see you in the near future.
Thank you for having me.
That's it. That's the show, you guys. Share this one with your friends, family members, with your coworkers, with your pastor. Share it with your doctor. Coming to you from southeastern Pennsylvania. God bless and goodbye.
This is Ballhead Brandon. Thank you for tuning into the Millennial Mustard Seed, my favorite podcast.
Said you gotta keep it on, you got that shotta. Would you rather be loved by men or loved by Christ? Said you gotta keep it on, you got that shotta. Would you rather be in love with the world or in love with Christ? My mama sold out for myself, I let my way down. Told myself to even stay down, couldn't find the strength to pray. Now devil playing, I'm finding strong, never thought I'd see cross the line, I thought that I would always be stuck. I can't fathom, drowning in the deep. Every day I wake up, had to see just what I see. House was empty, family gone, shame on me, I'm weak. About to take my life, I almost gave in to defeat. Couldn't find a way to get them to pray. Staying in my lane, find a new lane. So I took a step, caught up to the Lord. Then he cleaned my mess. And now it's up, up. Can't stay stuck, stuck. Run it up, go buck, buck. Line after line, I found my mind. So I can't go back to my old ways. I gotta keep it tucked. I can't risk it, came a long way. Ay. Said you gotta keep it on, you got that shotta, shotta. Would you rather be loved by men or loved by Christ? Ay. Said you gotta keep it on, you got that shotta, shotta. Ay. Would you rather be in love with the world or in love with Christ? Lately I've been feeling like I'm lukewarm, gotta make a move. Go be in the world, out of the world that I'm still trying to do. Don't care if they judge me, Father God, just being vulnerable. I can gain the world or lose my soul, so if I win, I lose. You said the path was narrow, you ain't say this was no tightrope. Might need time to repent, so if I die, please let me die slow. Just thankful it ain't dark no more, you came and cut the light on. You just want us to step in it so we can get our shine on. I seen them demons casting out that body, had my mind blown. Still trying to kill my flesh, I wanna show you what side I'm on. Because you can't be in love with the world if you wanna love Christ. Said you gotta keep it on, you got that shotta, shotta. Would you rather be loved by men or loved by Christ? Ay. Said you gotta keep it on, you got that shotta, shotta. Would you rather be in love with the world or in love with Christ?